Hey guys, this is Jess. I'm going to talk a little bit today about the tactile system. We've been getting a lot of kiddos lately in the clinic who are experiencing over-responsivity to tactile input, particularly with clothing. This can be obviously quite problematic because we sort of live in a society where we do need to wear clothes the majority of the time. And that can become very difficult because it's also at least twice a day that kids are having to change their clothes, which this then becomes a very disruptive part of the day for that family dynamic. So I want to discuss some things to think about. Certainly there's a lot to think about, but at least some things to think about and get you started if you are working with a patient similar to some of the ones I've been seeing lately. The first thing to think about is I always talk to families about the difference between a short-term strategy and a long-term strategy. When you first get a kid, especially with sensory sensitivity, really of any kind, or regulation issues of any kind, these families are coming to you sort of in a state of distress. We want to first try to reduce their stress because we need the parents regulated as well in order to implement things at home and to appropriately support that child's regulation. So short-term strategies might be things like avoiding the clothing that they really dislike, letting them pick out their clothing, getting, clothing without tags and seams. And some of these things might be ongoing strategies for them as well, because some kids always have that preference towards particular types of clothing. So you can talk about that initially. Then you might start working on more longer term strategies, things like really helping them tolerate and work through some of these less preferred clothing items so that they can tolerate more clothing. So, for example, we have plenty of kids in the clinic that cannot tolerate underwear, but some of them also are girls and only want to wear dresses. That could be obviously problematic. Or, having a hard time tolerating socks and shoes. Also, kind of problematic. Some clothing preferences are a little bit easier to work around for the parent and the family. So, that's also something you want to talk about with the parent, with the child as well, if they are old enough and able to participate. So, one thing you want to keep in mind, our tactile over responsive response in the body from a sensory standpoint can be overcome by proprioceptive input. So, if you think about any time you have gotten a little scratch, your instinct is to put pressure or press on that spot. That's because our deep pressure receptors in our skin actually can turn off the pain receptors in the area as well. And for our kids who are tactily over-responsive, certain tactile inputs can actually be interpreted as pain by the body. And that's important for the parents to know too. Your kid's not just being a jerk, they're not just being difficult, they actually might be experiencing that as pain. So if you want to put it in perspective for a parent, you could say, what if somebody wanted you to wear, a shirt made out of porcupine needles? That would be obviously extremely painful, and you would protest and become very distressed. That, is a very extreme example, but that's a way to kind of think about it, if our kids are experiencing pain with tactile input. So deep pressure. I also make sure then to tell a parent, deep pressure is a different input than light touch, and light touch can be very irritating to our kids with tactile sensitivity. This is important because for a lot of our kids who are sensitive to touch, whether it's having their hairbrush or having lotion put on or whatever it is, there's a tendency for us as adults, when we see somebody withdrawing from our touch or getting upset by it, to be more gentle. And you might actually need to do the opposite and be a little bit more firm to avoid adding to that tactile overstimulation. Then in play, I always work in play because play is how we reduce anxiety. And there's generally a lot of anxiety about touch. We get a lot of touch in our day without really thinking about it. It's one of those systems that really goes under-recognized. Our clothing is touching us, and everything that we are touching in our environment is also giving us tactile input at school and, with situations with parents. Or siblings, like kids get close to you and they touch you, or they even get in your bubble and might make you anxious that they might touch you. Or people, like at school, might use passive touch to give you guidance and direction. Let me show you where to go. And I have my hand on their shoulder. So you want to also point that out to the parents too, because our touch sensation is cumulative. So all that touch kind of adds up throughout the day. And then it might be that last touch of the day that really sends them over the edge. So breaks throughout the day for deep pressure can be helpful, and also limiting passive touch. And then in the sessions, we're working on these tactile experiences through a playful interaction, positive experiences. Because, again, when we're in a state of distress and we're anxious about this potential for tactile input to be happening to our body, we get even more tense and even more sensitive, and we really can't handle it. So play is a great tool. Make it playful. Some ideas you can use in the clinic, like the body sock or games of the Lycra tunnel, obstacle courses, because it provides tactile input similar to clothing, but it's a lot more fun. So if you think even how we've discussed about like feeding issues, right? Just the idea of sitting at the table, already our bodies, our kids who are sensitive know I'm expected to eat whatever's on the plate. So that can raise a lot of anxiety and put their guard up. And kind of similar with our kids who are sensitive to tactile input, particularly with clothing, when it's time to get dressed, guard is up because my anxiety is high. But if you get that same tactile input through a playful interaction, we don't have this expectation that there's this huge demand on us. So we might now feel more comfortable going through the Lycra tunnel or going in the body sock and being silly and pretending that you're monsters. The nice thing, because these are Lycra, you can also provide some resistance and get some added proprioceptive input as well to help minimize the impact of that tactile input. Vibration is another great tool. You can use this as a preparation. So maybe you're doing vibration like with the massager before the child is putting a particular clothing item on, or just even working on tolerating it depending on their tolerance. Typically, though, it is tolerated better because it's not strictly tactile input. There is some of that proprioceptive input embedded in there too. And that's usually what we're trying to do, is incorporate proprioceptive input with tactile input to help them better tolerate the tactile input. The brush is also a great strategy. And I have had really good success actually with kids following the brushing protocol, which that will be, you know, if you're not sure how to do that, come see me. That's a whole separate thing. But if you follow it per the protocol, I've had good success with our kids who are tactily oversensitive and really sensitive to clothing. So that's a great one to try. But it also can be a really huge demand on the family, and sometimes they're just not ready for it. I don't do it for kids if they're really resistive and dysregulated with that protocol, because no sensory strategy is helpful in that regard. And if the parent is too overwhelmed where they can't do it consistently, then I might try using the brush more as a strategy for more like preparation. So I might do it just like on an as needed basis. If the kid tolerates it, we might do the brushing protocol before they get dressed. And some, if there's a kid that's older, I might talk about how like this is helping your skin get ready and helping it, you know, handle the clothing better. Like we might talk about it as being magical and kind of this tool that they can use too. Going back to deep pressure, if they're not able to do the brush or they don't want to do the massager, I will teach the parents and the kid as well to prepare the body and help the body during the dressing task. So it maybe is like, okay, squeeze the arm. All right, put your arm in the armhole. All right, and squeeze again. Let's make it feel a little bit better. So you have probe, tactile, probe. You're kind of sandwiching that tactile input is another way to do it. Breaking down the task can also be helpful. So in my sessions where their demand is not for them to just get dressed and keep the clothing on, it's let's play with the clothing first. Let's be silly with it, and let's put any part of our body in it. You know, maybe it's silly and we put our legs in it, in the shirt instead of our arms. Or maybe we talk about how it's a tunnel and our arm goes through the tunnel. Or I've put my hand on the other end of the sleeve and kind of been like, oh my goodness, where's your hand? I don't see anything. And turn it into a silly thing. So the kid kind of pushes their hand through to catch me. And they might only keep their hand in there for a split second and pull it right back out. But every time we're building this positive experience around that clothing, whether you're playing with it in some silly way or they're putting their arm in and taking it out, we're helping them kind of break down that idea that the clothing is scary and gonna hurt me. So breaking it down to smaller pieces can also help. And then we also want to make sure, well, let me go back to the positive experiences. So the important thing with the positive experiences, and this is another thing that I really try to hone into the parents. So they're breaking down the task into little pieces during play. That's great because it helps create these positive experiences. But then the parents are always like, okay, but at home, we just have to get dressed. I don't have time to play with her for an hour for this piece of clothing and then have her take it off. Like, that's just not an option. Totally understand. So that's why we go back to those short-term strategies to minimize dysregulation as much as humanly possible. That might also mean for some kids being allowed to be nude in the house. You have to kind of work with the family on comfort level and like setting up rules around that. You know, maybe it's like you can at this time, but then when your brother wakes up, you have to put something on, you know, whatever. But there are definitely kids that have to be just literally naked in the house. Those would be also some great short-term strategies if need be. But then when it really explained to them about this whole idea about positive experiences is that going back to that idea of I have immediate anxiety when a dressing task is pending because my memory of that task is pain, discomfort, and high anxiety. And even if it's a short time, like maybe it's like just the act of putting it on and maybe after that I'm okay. But if I have an anxiety response, even if it's small and short, the memory of it is so much bigger. It clouds the memory of everything else. So we have to create as many positive experiences around these situations as humanly possible. And that means completely working within their regulation limitations. So for example, a lot of our kids who are sensitive to tactile are also sensitive to having their hair cut, having their hair brushed, having their hair washed. I've had families where we talked about, you know, maybe you just do one snip with the scissors like once a week. And granted, you're not actually getting their hair properly cut. But the idea is that you are introducing little small doses tolerable within their state of regulation to recreate some positive experiences around it. Or I had a parent tell me one time, you know, I started using the strategy that you said for brushing hair. Like we talked about applying deep pressure at the root where the sensation would be occurring to hopefully counteract some of that pain response. And they said, you know what? But like, it's hard to even do because he's so anxious and fidgety every time I touch him. And I said, think about the memories he's had about you brushing his hair. And Dad acknowledged, yeah, I used to be kind of rushed and fast and probably too rough and quick, thinking, let me just get this over with quickly because it's so hard for you. The problem is rushing and going fast is way more disruptive for that child, particularly for their sensory issues, and usually is much more intense from the sensory end. So I said, just maybe you only get to brush a couple times. Maybe you only get to do, okay, we'll just do one and then stop. And show them, you can trust me. I will stop when I say I'm going to stop. I will stop when you tell me that you want me to stop, or we will take a break. And we don't have to do the whole thing. It's not the end of the world if they don't brush their hair for a little while, right? So the idea, again, we're creating these positive experiences that like, hey, we brushed your hair and we brushed it the one time. I've done this with nail cutting as well, too, with kids. Because, again, parents are like, oh, I need to just get it done quick and get through it fast because it's so upsetting for them. And instead, I sit with them, we sing, I get them regulated. Okay, we're just going to do one and then we're done. And I won't maybe do another one for the whole rest of the session. And we might do that for a few weeks. So just so they can see, oh, it was just one. It was super short. And my overall memory is still pretty positive of it. And then we can gradually build up from there. But you're kind of having to undo some of this hippocampal baggage, right? Our hippocampus is remembering that this was terrible and we have to overcome that. And it takes a long time. The other thing to think about with this hippocampal baggage concept is that even once our tactile sensitivity has resolved, like we might work through it in sessions, that memory still stands. So you might get to a point sometimes in treatment where you're like, I don't even think they're that sensitive to tactile input anymore. Is their memory of being sensitive that's holding them back? And that's why incorporating these positive experiences and really supporting regulation is so, so critical while you're working on the tactile side of things. A couple other things that really helps with this positive experience and supporting regulation. One would be having an exit plan and really honoring it. So reminding the child, like, if you want a break, if you want to stop, just say stop. Or if they aren't able to even regulate to say that, it might just be, it looks like your body wants me to stop. I'm going to stop. Helping them feel empowered in those moments. I can tell you for sure the few patients that I've got right now that are tactilely sensitive, they tend to shut down and like run away from me, go climb into a little corner. And they're like, you can tell they're just totally distraught. And all I had to say one time to this little girl was, if you want to be done, it's okay. And she looked at me and nodded. And I'm like, okay, so we'll just be done. But she was in such a heightened state, I needed to help her regulate by giving her an exit plan. So again, that exit plan might vary depending on the situation and depending on your conversations with the parent and the child when you start thinking about those short-term versus long-term strategies, but they need to have a way out. They don't want to feel trapped. Empathy is probably the number one thing. So really, really talking to the family and you really modeling it about empathizing. I know this is tricky, or this doesn't feel good on your body. This is a big feeling. You look really worried, whatever it is, and really being empathetic. I think this is a hard one because, and this is an important thing I think to point out to the parent, because our own personal experience usually dictates how we expect somebody else to respond. What I mean by that is, for me personally, I don't have any tactile oversensitivity. So to me, it's like getting dressed is just, you just put your arm in and you just do it. I have no discomfort, no even really like idea of what that might feel like for somebody. So I have to really dig deep to think about what that might feel like to a child who is overly sensitive. So we need to really lay on the empathy thick, because we don't know what it's like because we don't have that same experience. The other thing to think about is helping the kids come up with specific labels and descriptions about what they are feeling. This is particularly important for our kids who have tactile discrimination issues, because they have a hard time understanding what they're feeling. They just know it's a big feeling and it leads to shutdown, dysregulation. But this is really important because this helps us problem solve. So for example, I was working with this little girl and she was going to put on, I think her, a sock. Oh no, we were about to put shoes on and we were doing some preparation for her feet using the massager. And she pulled away from the massager and said, no, that's too tight. And so I said to her mom, like, we need to really work on her being able to describe these things. I said, well, I don't think that's tight. Maybe this was a big feeling. Was it, you know, too bumpy or too wiggly or too ticklish? Your shoes might be too tight. So if we can help her find the words, you know, if she told me, okay, the massager is too big of a feeling, then I can modify a little bit, right? I can hold it with my hand and then touch my hand to her foot instead, which gives a smaller sensation. Or if she's talking about her shoe being too tight, we can loosen up the straps. We can put it on more loose. Maybe we could take her socks off before she puts her shoes on to give more space. We can problem solve. So then we can, again, make that hierarchy of, it's not just I wear my shoes or I don't wear my shoes, but look at all the different ways I could wear my shoes. And I can problem solve because, with adult support, because I can specifically label what the problem is. So being really specific with labels when you're talking with kids about tactile input. I'm sure there's lots more on tactile, but those are some things that at least were at the top of my mind today to talk to you about. I would certainly love to hear your feedback if you have any other great ideas of how you've helped kids overcome tactile sensitivity so that they could tolerate more clothing or tolerate other ADL tasks that require tactile input. So if you have any other suggestions or you have questions, certainly let me know.